find your seats so long. We'll get started in the next minute or two. All right, we're going to kick off. Welcome everybody.
Thank you very much. My name is Khalil Brankes and I'm a member of the Finance Committee of the Western Cape Government. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much, Chairperson. My name is Nomi Nkondlo. I'm a member of the Finance, Economic Development and Tourism Committee. Thanks.
Hello, I'm Zaida Adams, Procedural Officer.
Molweni nonke, goeie dag. Good day. Mna ikamalam go kwesixhosa nguWalter Nguthala. Mna okwam apha ekaswani taaldiens eenheid. Ja, so ek is hier om die vertaling te doen. Kwabathethe isixhosa ke ndiyitoliki, kwabathethe isixhosa ngosi.
Okay. Goedenavond allemaal, mijn naam is Ricardo McKenzie, ik is de voorzitter van Vervoer en Publieke Werken en ik is de lid van de comité en blij om een uitvoering te wezen.
Molweni, good afternoon, goedemiddag, my name is Lulama Mvimbi, I'm the alternate member of this committee, but I'm also the chairperson of the Standing Committee on Public Accounts in the provincial legislature.
Thank you, my name is Andy Lelili, a member of the Standing Committee for Human Settlement. Thank you very much.
Goeienaand dames en here. Good evening ladies and gentlemen. My naam is Andrikus van der Westhuizen. Ek is 'n lid van die staande komitee op finansies, ekonomiese ontwikkeling en toerisme, maar ook voorsitter van die staande komitee op landbou, omgewingsake en ontwikkelingsbeplanning. En ek wil daarom vir Oudtshoorn geluk wens met 'n uitstekende opkomst vanaand. Dankie.
Good afternoon, middag, Molweni. My name is Klas Mokaba. I am from the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition. I'm from specifically a unit that is responsible for the formulation of the two bills, Consumer and Corporate Regulation. I'm specifically responsible for advocacy and policy coordination within the same unit. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I also just want to take this opportunity to welcome and echo my colleague's sentiments. Thank you so much for taking time out of your days in the evening and being here with us this evening to discuss the Copyright Amendment Bill and the Performance Protection Bill. I want to especially recognize Executive Mayor Chris McPherson. Thank you for being with us this evening. Mr. Makaba, thank you so much for doing the presentation today. And I understand that we do have chiefs with us today. Thank you for your leadership and being present with us. We really do appreciate it. We do have a few more people coming through the door, but for the sake of time, we are going to proceed and we'll continue to update people throughout the course. I'd like to note that there are no apologies tabled for this evening, and of course we're here to discuss the bills. So before we get into that, I just want to note that we'll first have the briefing by Mr. Makaba. After that, members will be able to make their submissions and there'll be an opportunity for questions of clarity. Again, Walter next to me will be doing translations, so if you have any questions or if anything needs to be translated, he can kindly assist with that. I'd also like to ask if you can kindly keep your phones muted, just so we can have a more smooth process and we don't interrupt anything. Without much further ado, I'm going to hand over to Mr. Makaba.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. Thank you, colleagues, and also the community around Oswerin. We appreciate the opportunity to come and just brief you regarding the Performance Protection Amendment Bill, as well as the Copyright Amendment Bill. These two bills have been with us for a very long time, and we actually believe that with this particular process, we should be able to actually move forward and then have them finalized and then assented into law. Now, in terms of my presentation, I am going to, the presentation is about 49 pages or slides, so but I'm not going to really take time in terms of really presenting that. I would just emphasize some of the key issues that you would need to pay particular attention to, especially with regard to the amendments that have been proposed in this particular bill. Now, my presentation would be as follows. I'm going to actually give you the purpose of this particular hearing, and then also just the background, also outlining to you the different objectives of both the copyright as well as the performance, and then I will also give you information regarding the treaties from which essentially these two bills are actually based, and some of the reservations that have been raised by the president in terms of some of the clauses or some of the amendments that were initially proposed in this particular bill, and then we'll then go straight into the provisions, and then I'll then make conclusions, and then we can then have a discussion moving forward. Now, in terms of the bill, you'll see that we're making presentation basically on the copyright as well as the performance, and both these two bills are being presented as Section 76. Initially, the move was to actually deal with them as Section 75, but it was felt that provinces also have got a lot to say, because they also, to a certain extent, affect provinces. So that is why we then have to change them and then address them as Section 76 bills. Now, just in terms of the background, the Performance Protection Act is Act 11 of 1967, and the copyright is Copyright 98 of 1978. All these two legislations are old order legislations, having been enacted before 1994. Now, to a certain extent, they need to be substantial compliance with the Constitution. So that process has actually commenced, but for some reason, we were not able to actually complete them on time. Just because of their technical nature, they are not really easy legislation to actually deal with. Now, sometimes around 1998, and I think after the passing away of Mr. Simon Kabinda, I think most of you would remember him as Matatini, there was really a public outcry in terms of artists actually dying, having nothing, even in the midst of this particular legislation. Now, there was then a concern raised, and then for that matter, the a task team was actually formed to basically deal with this particular concerns. Now came to 2002, where then the parliament made some amendments to the copyright legislation to reintroduce the needle time, where, for example, your song or your performance is played during advert. And the main issue regarding needle time was the fact that even in the course of that, no royalties was actually paid. Now, in 2002, Parliament then made some amendments to specifically address issues on needle time, especially around royalties. For that matter, the DTIC then enacted some regulations specifically to deal with collecting societies who are responsible to collect the royalties and then distribute them. So that was actually made in sometimes around 2006. There were quite a number of engagement that was actually taking place, and various departments were also consulted for them to have their inputs, to have their say around these particular issues. Now came 2010, where a copyright review commission was then established to design a better model for the distribution of royalties, especially around musicians and composers of music. During the period 2010 to 2012, the DTIC through WIPO then requested or commissioned a research on what happens to the benefits that come from the copyright-based industries, so that when we sit down and then when we look at the legislation, when we review, then we can identify specifically which provisions, to look at which provisions to amend. Then the anti-piracy multimedia campaigns also were taking place just around the provinces, and that was actually going on between 2010 and 2014. And there were a number of activities that were actually happening around the copyright, around the performance protection. So there was also a formalization project which was actually launched in 2012 with the industry, and that was actually supported by the DTIC to actually work also around issues on copyright and performance protection. Now came 2013, which is roughly 10 years ago, where then the DTIC then published for comments the draft national intellectual property policy in 2013, and 2014 we then requested a regulatory impact study to be made relative to this particular draft policy, also to be inclusive of the treaties. I'm going to actually outline the treaties under which the legislation are actually based. And then in 2017, both the two bills were then introduced into Parliament. But then because of a number of things, treaties and other things, they were not really finalized, because they were, subsequent to that, a number of international concerns that needed to actually be addressed, which also to a large extent, included the global and, Continental Affairs Committee to also look at issues regarding IP. And for that, then Cabinet then approved the treaties in 2018. Now, on the 5th of December 2018, again, the National Assembly then passed the two bills. came 2019, they were then adopted by the provinces. But because of the issues that were raised, especially by the industry, the president then requested certain issues to be addressed, you know, in terms of this particular bill. Now, the two bills, sorry. Now, essentially, there were six key issues that the president raised concern on the two bills. Right. The first one relates to the tagging of the bill. Like I said initially, that they were initially tagged as Section 75, but there was a need as well to then consult with provinces, because to a large extent, provinces are also affected by the operation of the two bills. So as a result, the joint taking mechanism then did allow, you know, to retaking of the bills from Section 75 to Section 76. Okay, the other issues relate to the retrospective and arbitrary deprivation of property. If, for example, some of the provisions that were actually in the bill, which, for example, if they were going to be enacted, they, instead of really addressing the concerns that are there, they may actually, you know, create hardship, especially around the copyright owners. For that matter, the president then requested that some of those particular bills sections should actually be removed from the bills. For example, section 66 capital letter A, 7A seven, 8 capital letter A, 5. So they were subsequently removed from the bills because of their retrospective effect, but also the hardship that would occasion if, for example, royalties would then have to be paid, you know, retrospectively. So then the president advised that at least we need to actually relook and perhaps, you know, remove some of these provisions. In terms of the delegation of power, the president felt that there were certain powers that were delegated to the ministers, and the president was of the view that this particular clauses would give more powers to the ministers, rather those particular provisions be removed. If there are subsequent amendments that need to happen, that should actually be through, you know, cabinet, parliament, and that powers being removed, you know, from the ministers. Now, one of the key principle that has been introduced in terms of the bills relate to what is called fair use. As we move along with the presentation, we'll then explain in detail what it means. But that, just in a nutshell, fair use actually allows users to use, for example, copyright matters without necessarily having to request for permission from the owners. This particular aspect has really created a lot of tension, a lot of issues, because a lot of artists, a lot of performers, they felt that if government was to introduce fair use to a large extent, that would actually benefit. If they were not going to introduce, that would actually benefit a lot of them. So there was really a lot of, you know, contention around the principle of fair use. Like I said, this is really one of the key introduction or provision in this particular bills. The other ones would be the exceptions would actually deal with the exceptions as we actually move forward. And then lastly, the last issue that was actually raised by the president relate to the international treaties. Even though South Africa is not party or a member to a number of these particular treaties, it was felt that we need to actually move in line with the international trade, so that as and when we amend or we revise, you know, IP legislation, at least we need to actually do that, taking into consideration what is contained in this particular treatise. So it's only I'm told that a number of this particular treaties were approved, so would actually be acceding to them and be a member of this particular treaties moving forward. For the list that we'll see from the slide that's actually coming, you'll see there's only one treaty which we are actually a member of. So those are the six issues that the president raised, and that to a large extent resulted, Chair, in this particular bills taking so long, you know, to be finalized, because there was really a lot of, you know, public outcry in terms of, you know, some of what has been introduced and some of the amendments that were introduced in the bills. Now, just to give you a bit of a background in terms of the parliamentary process, you know, regarding these two bills, they were actually put on for comment. By the way, then withdrawn. I remember the initial comments were, I think, from December 2021 until January. And, you know, because of the response, the deadline for the submission of the comments to the bills were then extended by really just few days. I think it was a week. And from there was another follow-up process, which came around the June until July. Some of the clauses were advertised, some of them were not advertised. So, yeah, and there were also, you know, the public hearings that actually happened around August 2021. Now, like we said earlier, with regard to some of the provisions that were contained in the bills, the president had reservations. So those were then referred back so that they can actually be addressed. But then the National Assembly then around September 2022 then adopted the bills, and then that is last day. They were then referred to the National Council of Provinces, NCOP, for concurrence. So there was also a briefing of the select committee. Well, some of the colleagues were part of that process, some of us were not. And the provincial briefings took place, you know, from the first to the 4th of November last year. I think the Western Cape is the first province to basically have a hearing of this nature, specifically on this particular bill. So I think big ups, you know, for the province. Now, Chair, I am going to move now into the bills themselves. Like I said, I'm not going to really address everything, just key provisions that are very, very important for all of us here, especially in terms of the comments that we're actually soliciting as government, as a department, to deal with these bills and then to really finalize them. The amendments informing the Copyright Act basically is to just ensure that the copyright as a legal framework is actually strengthened, and to a large extent it does or it should be able to, you know, promote accessibility to both, you know, those who actually use it, the consumers, the producers, and all the role players within the industry. So also was to ensure that new provinces are actually included. For example, the fair use provision, one of the new provisions to be included in terms of this particular bill, but to also deal with issues or put clarity on, you know, collective management. I've already indicated the collecting societies and their requirement now in terms of the bill that they need to, you know, be accredited by the Companies and Intellectual Property Commission. Just in general, the copyright should actually deal with the protection of rights and the work of the authors, especially within the digital space, the digital environment, but also introduced very important contractual terms, because it was actually noted that you know, the agreement that happens between within the industry are not as tight, and people are able to actually renege from those terms and without any penalty. So the idea behind this is to really try to actually strengthen those particular terms. You will see as we go on a number of provisions that have been included in the bills also talk about, you know, subject to, you know, an agreement being entered into, you know, between the performers or between the artist as well as the users. Now, the other issue that's actually been introduced in terms of this particular bill is what they call a resale royalty. I would actually explain that as we go specifically into the provision itself. I've already indicated regarding the fair use system and also the importance around, you know, the sharing of royalties, which is really one of really the key issues that need to be addressed in terms of the best. Like I said, a lot of outcry was that a lot of artists they die with nothing. When there are some royalties that are owed to them, they need to be paid. So the idea also behind this particular bill is to strengthen, you know, provisions, you know, relating to the sharing of royalties. And just in general to address the rights of authors in commissioned works, and also to introduce technological protection measures, they call them TPMs, to actually reduce, you know, a number of, you know, or copyrights infringement that has actually happened before in terms of the bill. Now I'm going to address the treaties. I'm not going to be long on them. The two bills, both the performance protection as well as the copyright, are largely based on, you know, the WIPO treaties. So like I said, though we are not really yet a member of the first five, the WIPO performance, the Beijing Treaty, the WIPO Copyright Treaty, the Marrakesh Treaty, however, for the government of South Africa to really play in line with what's happening internationally, it was very important that we also align ourselves to this particular treaties. It's only the Bene Convention, of which we're actually a member. Other treaties, we are not, you know, subscribing to them, however, but in terms of policy legislation, we do align, you know, the IP legislation with this particular treaties. Right. I'm not going to deal on the definitions specifically. However, the one of the amendments in terms of the copyright was to include a number of provisions, hence a number of definitions in terms of what has actually been introduced, you know, in the bill. For example, the bill would actually make a reference to accessibility of a format code, the technological protection measures. Those are some of the provisions that have actually been included in this particular bill. But like I said, I'm not going to specifically go into the definition that have been inserted. Now, a person can actually ask, what will be the scope of this copyright legislation in terms of protection of the copyright owners? Now, you would understand that this would specifically lead to the protection in terms of any expressions, and not a person, if any person's got an idea or there's a method of him doing something, that would not really be covered in terms of this particular bill. The bill would specifically deal with protection around expressions, and as we move on with this presentation, you'd be able to understand exactly what we're talking about. So that is basically the message around, you know, the scope of copyright in terms of the copyright protection act. Now, the other question would be, what would also be provided in terms of this particular bill? There has been a clause that has actually been introduced to actually amend Section 5 of the Act, which actually provide for, you know, ownership of copyright. That has actually been made under the direction or control of state, local, or international organization. Moving forward, this will now be entrenched in terms of this particular legislation, where the state itself would then be in a position to actually control, for example, a ownership of any copyright issues that has actually been made under its direction. Now, there are other provisions, for example, that leads to where some information, a literary work or a musical work is actually communicated and made available for distribution. So there are some certain clauses that would in a way try to manage, because where information can be freely moved from one person to the other, to a large extent, it then denies the owner of copyright there too. So some of the provisions that have been introduced in terms of the Copyright Amendment Bill under Clause 4 is to deal with issues where there is communication that flows freely, you know, from one person to the other or to the member of the public. Whether it happens that way through wire or wireless, it really doesn't matter. But there are clauses in terms of the bill to also specifically deal with that as well. I've already mentioned the issue regarding royalties, very, very important. So the issues of royalties would be dealt with in terms of the bill, and we've already made mention of the fact that there were certain provisions or clauses that were introduced that the president requested that they be removed because of the hardship that they may cause if they were, for example, going to happen retrospectively. I've already dealt with a situation where there's a distribution of an artistic work that is actually made available to the public. So that, to a large extent, would also be controlled in terms of this particular bill. We've dealt with the sharing of royalties. The issue on retrospectivity is not going to apply, and we've also talked about the resale royalty right. The resale royalty right is, for example, where a particular work is actually sold. The idea behind that is that even in that case, you are still entitled to any royalties that would actually flow even after resale. So that is why this particular clause is a new one. It's actually been inserted in order to make sure that the owners are actually protected. They should also be able to be paid royalties, especially where, for example, there's like a commercial resale within the art market within that particular work. So one of the possibly the groundbreaking provision or clause in terms of this particular bill. Okay, we've clause 8. Some of these clauses really a repetition. Clause 8 is a clause that talks about distribution or commercial renting or communication to members of the public and making, for example, audio-visual work available to them. There are clauses, for example, clause 8 would specifically address those particular communication, which in a way deprive the owners as and when they happen. Issues on sharing of royalties, that has actually been addressed. Also royalties regarding the sound recordings, one of the most important provisions under clause 4 to provide that the royalty be shared equally between the owner of the copyright and the collecting society. We've already made mention about the collecting societies, their role and their obligation to be accredited with the companies and intellectual property commission. Clause 11, it's substituting Section 9A of the Act. It then requires the recording and reporting of any act that seeks to contravene this, especially if it deals with royalty issues. Right, so there would be that obligation to report if such a transaction happens, the parties involved are not made aware of that. So it will really become an offence and punishable in terms of the bill. It says that the offence provided a person convicted of shall be liable for a fine or imprisonment for a period not exceeding 5 years, or both to fine and imprisonment. So there would be a duty to report any such activity if it's happening within the industry. The clauses regarding the gender neutral drafting, though this one's, it's just simple removal of where reference has been made to his or her, that has actually been changed to either them or their. Just to suggest a few changes that were made, and those were not really from the members of the public, but really the recommendation that came from the committee, during them being briefed regarding the two bills. So those are just the minor drafting issues that have been dealt. You'll see any reference to his or her will has now been substituted by either them or their. I'm not going to go to clause 12. Clause 15 deals with some of the exceptions from copyright protection. We've already dealt with issues regarding fair use, where, for example, a person would be allowed to actually use any copyright without really having to get permission. The exclusions have actually been proposed to actually balance the industry as well as issues that would actually empower or develop the teaching profession. Research would actually put value into that. So there would be instances where, for example, if a particular research is to be done, you do not necessarily have to get permission from the holder. This is just to also empower the community, the society as a whole. So a number of exceptions have been introduced in terms of the bill, but the key one here relates to the principle of fair use. Also exceptions around the copyright protection applicable to all works. We've already indicated that the aim is to ensure just a development approach for both the author, the copyright owner, and the user. Public interest is also very important. Access is also very important. Information, knowledge, those are very important. Hence, some of these provisions were actually introduced to really strike a balance between the owner as well as the user. Clause 12B in the bill, not really important, and instead it would be dealt with specifically by the regulations that would be promulgated in terms of the bill. Also 12B1D, 12B1E, and those are just the minor, really technical amendments that were picked up during engagement that have actually been addressed. So it's not important at this point in time to really address them here. I'm gonna go to clause 12C that talks about provision of permission to make copies at work. All some of these things would also be controlled, so that at the end of the day they are not really being abused. The same applies on section 2D that deals with exceptions that are related to or used for educational purposes or for academic purposes. So clause 12D does go broader in terms of this particular exclusion as it relates to accessibility or using for educational or academic purposes or academic activities. There's also the general exception on what is called the freedom of panorama, where, for example, clause 16, it would actually be amended in section 15 to provide for a general exception from protection of artistic work. If, for example, you take a certain picture that, for example, has a statue of Mandela, you do not necessarily have to seek. You can actually use that. You do not necessarily have to seek permission if you want to actually use that. So that is the general exception relating to the freedom of panorama. But like we are saying, these are not really the final state or status of the clauses per se. You are still allowed or have an opportunity, if you have a contrary view with motivation, of course, with argument, to really indicate why some of these provisions should not be included or should be revised or should be excluded from the bill. That opportunity still exists, so you can still do that. Also exceptions relating to the computer programs, that is actually dealt with in terms of clause 21 of the bill, which actually would then amend section 19B of the Act, providing that a person has a right to use a copy of a computer program shall be entitled without authorization of the copyright if, for example, they want to do a specific work on that particular program. For example, they want to observe, or they want to study, or they want to test. So you do not necessarily have to seek permission from the owner. That is another exception as it relates to computer programs, another provision included in terms of the copyright.
Apologies, Mr. Mokaba.
Yes.
I'm just worried about time. Would you mind if you spoke rather to the spirit of the clause rather than the detail? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah. I'm going to just really emphasize some of the key amendments. Some of the amendments that would actually provide your general exceptions type of clauses would be calculated around also including people with disability, for them to really access some of the copyrighted work. So there is an exception now in terms of clause 22 that would address your people with disabilities. And then the moral right would be, for example, putting an obligation where if you're the copyright owner and you don't want any work to be done on your work, you can object to that and say no, because there are reputational issues here. If, for example, you've done a certain sculpture and somebody wants to modify it, you've got a right to say no. That is actually dealt with in terms of clause 23 to specifically deal with the moral right issues. We've already spoken about where work has actually been commissioned, where the state itself can also commission for certain work to be done. We've already indicated that the state would then own that work. Assignment of literary or musical work, we've already touched on that in the previous clauses, and also open works where, for example, the creators of the original work cannot be traced or they're not available, where you can actually get a license. If you want to specifically work on their work, you can actually get a license to be able to do work on it. And also the issues around the royalties also come into space. We've spoken about the accreditation of collecting societies. No one will be allowed to on their own unless they've been accredited by the a collecting agent or a collecting society within the CIPC. So no one would actually be allowed to do that. If any person does that, then they will be breaching the Act. We've talked about the other key importance of the bill to deal with copyright management information as well as technological protection measures. there have been a number of clauses or offences that have been introduced in the bill, Section 27, Section 29 as well. I'm just really highlighting some of the key, some of the important provisions to actually note. Section 28, Clause 31, sorry, deal with the technological protection measures as well as the other copyright protection issues. Okay, we in terms of the bill, the copyright tribunal would be strengthened in terms of their functions, you know, how new members would be appointed, the term of office, and how these particular members would be removed or suspended from office. So those are some of the amendments introduced in the bill. Colleagues, I'm also going to deal with, if there is any clause or any agreement pertaining to any copyright issue or performance protection issue that, for example, is unenforceable, that would be seen to be infringing the legislation. So those type of clauses would not be allowed in terms of the bill, and as such, they would not be incorporated in the bill. The replacement of terms where expression initially was made of cinematograph, film, now instead of using those words, we use audiovisual work and work. So that is the new terms that will be used. Transitional arrangement, clause 39, not important. And in terms of the commencements of the bill, that is under clause 40 of the bill of the copyright. So the recommendation that we're actually making is for you to actually note this, and then if you have any further comments to make, you can actually do that. I'm going to go into the performance protection. You see, these two bits essentially are the same. You see, a lot of provisions that are actually contained in the copyright, you would also see them within the performance protection. So there is not really much difference, and between the two bits in terms of some of the amendments that have been introduced. Around the moral rights, we've already spoken about. Moral rights of copyright owners, and even for performers, this is also incorporated. The issues around royalties as well. When, for example, a performance is sold or rented out, also does has also been provided for in terms of the performance protection bill. Also just a number of technological protection measures as well as copyright management information. This also has also been taken on as well in the bill, and also the contractual terms that are very, very key in terms of contracting between the performers and the industry. So the ministers would be able to actually prescribe those particular terms, and those guidelines would also be published, also allowing the performers to also give permission in terms of whatever agreement that they would be entered into, and also a number of offences that would be created in terms of the performance protection. I'm not going to go into the definitions. We've already spoken about the protection of performers in terms of their moral and economic rights.
and also the transferability of rights. Those three of which is a new insertion provide that the transfer of rights where the performer has consented to fixation of the performance subject to a written agreement which shall give the performer the right to receive royalties. So that's very, very important. So this is really one of the, what is very, very important, that when that happens, when there's a transfer, there should also be a consent given, and the performers must also be in a position to actually also get royalties. So the issues of royalties is also very important under clause 3 of the Performance Protection Bill. Okay, there are also restrictions in terms of the use of performance. Colleagues, generally, some of the issues, the provisions containing the two bills are basically of the same. So, that is just in short, but I know I took long because having to address the two bills. Those are really the key amendments, proposals that have been made in terms of the two bills, from which we seek further comments from you in terms of moving these two bills forward. Chair, sorry for taking much of your time, but thank you for the time to present on behalf of the DTIC. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Makabo. I can sense that you're very passionate about this, so we do appreciate your time, taking the time to teach us and make sure that we are 100% informed of the bill in front of us. So I hope that was helpful to everyone. We're now going to have an opportunity for questions of clarity, if there's anything that you'd like a bit more information on or that you didn't quite understand. We'll also assist with translations if there was something you didn't catch or would prefer to be translated. So I'll take hands in rounds of three. I recognize one, two, is there three? All right. Sir, would you like to kick us off? Sorry, sir, there's a mic coming. When you start speaking, could you just state your name, where you're from, and if there's an organization that you're representing as well?
All right, good day. My name is Bernard Hannes. I am from Hoogekraal, currently known as Pakkelsdorp. I'm from the Corona House. The question for clarity I'd like to pose is the following. It relates to the proposed amendment on page 14 regarding the royalties. My question is this. What about the indigenous First Nation and cultural heritage which has been used willy-nilly on radio and TV without consent of the First Nation in terms of royalty, if any, applicable? And then furthermore, can it be read in conjunction with clause 15, or should it just be considered as fair use, as seems to be the case? Thank you.
Thank you. That's a very insightful question. I recognize there was a gentleman at the back. I'll come to you in the next round. Yes, there was a person in the back.
Okay. That was also one of my questions, that the traditional leaders also always ask in Tunneland. I'm Celeste Mingo, and I'm the manager of IDP, LED, and performance management at Tunneland Municipality. So yes, that is something that we're also questioning in terms of the indigenous nation. And we're also wanting to push it further in terms of the tourism aspect of the heritage sites and the rock art that we've got in Tunneland. And if the bill actually addresses that, I have just briefly scrutinized the contents of the bill as I was sitting here now, and I didn't really see that coming through. So how do we deal with that particular royalty of guests visiting these sites, and even horrifically carving them out and putting them in museums elsewhere? The second point is, I see that there's an exclusion when it comes to intellectual property of state. And there are many authors, and yes, we are bounded by legal contracts of employment, but there are many documents that have AA value and that are stored in the archives. So is there that particular clause that says that you can enter into an agreement? Would that also be permitted? And I think, you know, as an employee, you don't have as much bargaining power when you're entering a job market looking for a post to still insist on a copyright as an author to your writing. So is there any protection for authors inside that write these big documents like your annual reports, just the recognition of the author? Because I feel that in terms of a historical account of the writing, it's important to capture who actually wrote what in the particular time it was written. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I know there was a question on this side. Yes, the gentleman in the front. If you can just state your name again and where you're from.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Isaac Ernest van Rensburg. I'm from Central Karoo District. On behalf of the Dream Organization, / Stephen Care Foundation. Wat ek wil vra is namens die, according page 17, sharing of royalties between performers and copyright owners and audiovisual workers. I want just a point of clarity. Will the sharing value be equal between the performers and the copyright owners? I just want clarity around it.
Thank you very much. So we're taking questions in rounds of three. I'll hand over to the department to speak to the questions, and then we'll take another round for further questions. Over to you, Mr. Mukaba.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the questions. I'm going to try by all means to respond to some of the questions that have been raised. Now, in terms of the issues on royalties for the indigenous nation, our understanding is that if for example, you are actually of the view that the provision within the bill, if it does not specifically address your concern in terms of the payment of royalties, you are at liberty to actually make proposals, like I indicated initially, with motivation, why specifically your area need to be actually taken into account. But in terms of what is actually provided in terms of this particular bill, the issue on royalties is very, very important. It's actually one of the key amendments, one of the key clause introduced in this particular bill. So, you know, ultimately it would actually be phrased, that remains to be seen as we proceed and engage with stakeholders like yourself. However, it is here now. It is incorporated in terms of this particular bill. And like I said, it's really one of the groundbreaking provisions to be included in this particular bill. So our understanding, our feeling is that, you know, it should really be able to actually address your issues. Though maybe not wholly, but to a certain extent, as long as the issue relates to royalty, this particular bill should be able to actually address issues like that. Let me also, in the same breath, try to answer the question that has been raised by the last speaker in terms of whether the royalties will be shared whether equally or not. The clause says it will be shared equally between the owner as well as yes, that's what it says.
So it will be shared equally. Now I know that because we have picked these issues previously in terms of royalties. Now payment is one thing. Now if you are going to then begin to share equally, then there are really issues regarding that. Whilst a number of stakeholders appreciated the fact that yes, indeed, this particular bill would address issues on royalty, and not only the copyright but also the performance, but the issue on equality, then really that creates a problem. Look, I think these are some of the things that we may need to actually address as and we proceed. So, but in terms of this particular bill, it says that the royalties would actually be shared equally. The issues regarding the fair use. I know the industry is not happy with the fair use provision because to a large extent it deprives them of their benefit. But what government is trying to do is to really, really balance the two. And the idea is that the fair use principle should not be misused by those who would actually be relying on it. So I think as we move forward, there would really be that balance that will be made in terms of, this one is a very controversial one, I must say. That is why the president requested that this issue should be taken back and be canvassed extensively with the industry, because a lot of concerns that were raised against the fair use principle. So I may not really have an answer for you right now, but the idea behind this particular principle is to, you know, just to strike a balance, look at issues regarding, you know, research, you know, academia, you know, teaching, development, and those things. So yeah, but to what extent that would actually be used, it's very difficult to really give an answer now. There was also another question regarding or an issue of clarity regarding where, for example, the state is now designated as a copyright holder. I think the clause in the bill says in the instance where, for example, the state has requested that a particular work be done for them. But there's also what we call some reversion clauses, where, for example, ownership would then revert to the owner after a period of 25 years. But what's very important is that during that process, you are still entitled to any royalties that flows from any transaction arising from, or any activity arising from that. So you are still protected really in terms of the provision on royalties, but also there was also the revision clauses where you'd retain ownership of that after a period of 25 years. I'm not sure if I did answer all the questions. However, I might not be able to answer all of them. However, would really appreciate if you have further comments or further issues to actually raise, because these issues in terms of the copyright and the performance, they are not very simple to really deal with, you know, at a go. So if you have, you know, contrary or additional or supplementary suggestions, you are actually at liberty to send them so that we can actually look at them and see, you know, to what extent can we relook or revise the clauses that we currently have before we actually finalize them. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm mindful of time, so we'll take one more round of questions for clarity. Again, I'd like to just echo Mr. Makaba. If you would like to make a submission, this is the platform to do it. We're taking oral submissions today. Alternatively, if you do want to take some time just to think about it, put it down in writing, we'll give you a contact. We have business cards here, and you can just write to us, send us a WhatsApp. So we'll take questions in rounds of three. I recognize one, two, three. Okay.
I'm the paramount chief of the Kane House, which means I'm the principal leader. My juris area starts from Montague, and it ends up there in the Northern Cape, Edgerfontein. I'm quite sure we want to finalize this document. And make sure that at the end of the day we have a document that has been upgraded since 1967 up to now. So I think we are moving forward into the right directions. But it is 49 pages. It is 49 pages. And I will first, for my input, I will make sure that I will give it to my legal advice so they can go through this document and make sure that the question that the gentleman asked about emancipation, the disposition of land, property, assets, and all that stuff. I want to cut it short and sweet. Because we are here, and we are long-term here. We are not just coming up today and pop-ups and being chiefs here around and do that stuff. We are here to serve the people. So we put people first. According to the section that we read from, I see that there is very, very sections. We need our input on that thing because we are not clear. Because I've read through the document now of the Constitution, I see that some of the sections they are talking about, to me, it looks irrelevant. It looks relevant. So, yes, we want to make sure that we also give our input on the sections, the part of the sections, so that we can have an input in that one. Make sure that, and that's why I'm asking you that, give us some time so that we can make our submissions because it's a 49 page of document and I almost got for myself every sitting here and waiting all the gentleman has been reading and getting bored and all that stuff because it's not my part of work this. This is not my part, there's a legal document and I want to make sure it's my legal department so they must advise me on the way forward. How will you engage? Because there's much of things that we see that we can engage with you, especially come to the Bushmans, the Kora, the Nama, the Griqua, and the Cape Koi. We are from the Kora, the Nama, the Bushman, the Griqua, and the Cape Koi clans. And then there is sub clans also. So we want to make sure that we have our inputs on this one. As I told you, Mr. Minister, or I don't know who's here, because I'm also upset on the way this thing has been, Mr. Advocacy, and the way this thing has been advertised. It is not on. It's not on. If we want to have participation and public participation, speak to one another. We as Scotia want to speak to you as people, making sure you bring the service to our people that put our people first. And it will be our obligation to make sure that we, Antoinette, do this thing for our people.
Thank you,
so
sir.
So I thank you for allowing me having such a short and long speech. By the end of the day, I want to make sure the message is getting abroad. Because we are here to work with one another in coherent, as I said it made last time, coherently. Hey, Gangans, can't you hear it?
Thank you very much, sir. I would just like to say, before we move on, that you do have until the 10th of March to make submission. So you've got plenty of time, yes, plenty of time to take it through to the people that you are representing. All right, so there was a second from the mayor. Okay, we'll take you as the last one. All right, but the lady will be before you. Yes.
Hey. Are you here? Thank you. First, allow me just quickly to say welcome to Oudtshoorn, if I may, as the executive mayor, and to say thank you for being here. And I just want to inform the public that I know that you've been this whole week been traveling around the whole of the Southern Cape. You must be exhausted by this time with the heat that you've encountered and all the other things. But welcome here, and for your outreach that you embarked on, thank you for that. Concerning the bill, am I first say also to the Paramount Chief, I'm looking forward to working with you in the future once the bill is enacted and we've finalized those issues. Regarding the Act and what Mr. Makaba mentioned just now about the technology, we are concerned about one thing, and I think it is a contentious issue, and that is the downloading. Because this is affecting basically all performers. And if they illegally download, they are actually, our performers are missing out on quite a lot. And the question is I want to know to what extent, how effective is this legislation or this proposed legislation in protecting our performers for downloading and all that. If I look at, you can download, how many music channels are there now to download? So why would I go and listen? Why would I buy a CD or whatever else if I can download it for free? And I do not see this 100% effectively addressed in this as well. If I look at TikTok and I look at that, and you're talking about reproduction and the way in which some of the songs are reproduced in other manners, and there's no protection in that. So there's no right. So I think to a large extent that is something in the virtual world which we have to address, and the sooner the better. And I think this is the place and this is the bill that we should actually have a look at before we finalize this issue. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. I'll hand over to the studio here.
I'm Carnita Simons, a cabinet member for Sovereign Aboriginal Ngarimeb. And I have a range of questions because we were invited to do a presentation. So let me just start with question one, which wants to take cognizance of the draft process. What we would like to know is, while it is in draft, who monitors that the submissions made are incorporated into that draft or into those amendments? Then, as First Nation Aboriginal people, we need to know that the reports specifically pertaining to arts and culture are taken seriously, so that the rights of the First Nation Aboriginal people are recognized and also rewarded. Then, as a province, you correctly commend Oudtshoorn on the first public hearing of this nature. But however be that as it may, we are sitting with lengthy documents that we supposed to conduce in a matter of 2 hours. So we need to look at maximizing the potential of public participation. Then we need to know that the complaints are followed through. Then as far as the moral right issues go, who and where do we register our objections to? And why are the treaties of other countries something we have to become members of in order to ensure that they respect our rights as the First Nation Aboriginal people. Coming back to Homo sapiens and us, as the sun and the koi being the first in the world, in all of mankind. So when we look at intellectual property, sir, I implore you to take cognizance of that.
Thank you very much. Mr. Mokaba, there are two more final questions. So we'll just take them and then I'll hand over to you and then we'll move on to the oral submissions. All right. So there was a lady at the back and then the gentleman in the front and then we're done with his questions. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Dicela u-interpreter please.
Ikhona tata.
Okay.
Ungaqhubekeka.
All right, Nkosi. Ndingumuntu ongaboniyo ozamayo didn't bengaka. I-constitution yona ikhona. Iyavela apha nangoku ku chapter, I think section 19 iyacacisa apha ngomuntu ofana nam nezinto ekumele ukuba zibe ziyaqwalaselwa kuye, kodwa ingxaki ekhoyo phaya i-theory kuphela. Xa sekufuneka ukuba kwenziwe ayenzeki loo nto. Just like umzekelo, sinesikolo esisifomishe andisifomishe ngo-2013 sabantu abangaboniyo, ngoba iWestern Cape ayinakanga abantu abangaboniyo ngakumbi abadala. So sinengxaki ke ngoku yobana singakwazi umuntu obathina sikhatheleleke xa sibadala for ukufunda. Umzekelo ngo-2018 ndide ndancama ndabe ndisiyeka isikolo ndabaleka ndayevenda ndihamba nalo sisi nalo mama ndingaboni sacrossa i-park stage sihamba sobabini siqwaba singaboni. Just imagine sisiyevenda. 2019 siqale 3 years apha e-Free State sagqiba ubhala ngo-6 kaJulayi. Uyayibona indlela esisokola ngayo yoba sihamba ama-province akude, kodwa u-section 29.1 uthi wonke umntu unelungelo lokokuba afunde xa efuna ukufunda. Sincamile ke thina ke ukuyenzelwa loo nto saendapha siyenza ngokwethu. Nasi i-challenge ke ngoku. I-challenge ngoku sifuna urejistarisha ka-education. Uqala ngo-2015 basisa ngapha nangapha, nangapha nangapha nangapha, toti namhlanje. Abafuna urejistarisha ke ngoku, sinayo i-certificate, kudala sinayo i-certificate ze-NPO. Ngoku sifuna urejistarisha ke ngoku, sifumane i-curriculum. Njengabemi baseMzantsi Afrika nathi sifunde sibhale, kubekho abantu abangaboniyo abakwaziyo ukusebenza singaqhomeke kwi-disability grant. Uyabona? Ngoba loo disability grant ndithetha ngayo iza kuphela, sozi 20 years zifike i-disability grant isekhona, because yonganyelwe ngabantu bamanye amazwe bazayigqiba la ngqowa. That is why sifuna ukuphangela sizenzele ukuphila kwethu ngokwethu. Umisi Swartz ke lo ulapha ka-education apha e-George uvala amacango akafuna usirejistarisha. Ngoku nge-7 Ngesithi siyasivula isikolo kwakhona sifundela phi e-library. Sifundela e-library. Nge-6 siyasivula isikolo kodwa nge-7 akubela lanto mama. Nge-7 siya straight sokwenza sit in njengoku. Sizawuhlala more than 6 years sitshela pastela pasenzela yonke into pha. Asizumuva till desk sifumana iform ethi nathi njengemfama sikulungele ukuba sifunde. Uba ikabikho loo nto asizuhamba phaya. Ndisho ukuthi ke amalungu epalamente torhwana ndiyacela le nto le constitution asiphathela sona esithi masiamende izinto makubekho indlela yokulandelelwa. Umzekelo ndilibele ngoku incwadi, sinencwadi epublishwe kulo nyaka kupheleyo ngoNovemba. At the same time sine-CD yabantu abakhubazekileyo esikhuphileyo ndizishiye ndisithi ndivanazo apha ndinibonise ezo zinto. Akho nto singayenziyo, siyazama kodwa imizamo yethu ayibonakali. Asiyazi ke unobuqala uqalulo olu lihamba umgama ongakanani. Ndiyacela ke zihlobo zam zeke niyinyusele ngasentla esi sikhalazo sam sidibela ku-enjwe uyasazi. I think ngo-2017 ngexesha sebekhupha i-result wayetshilo wathi uMr Dibele uyasokole George, abantu abangaboniyo ne-deaf isengabona abantu basasitruglishayo ekulungiselelweni kodwa todi today kusenjalo. Enkosi.
Ndiyabulela babu Dibele. Ntokuyo ke ndifuna nje undinike apha babu Dibele, nxa usithi ke ngoku uzawuba nale sit in ngomhla we-7 uxela kweyiphi inyanga? Oh, kwakule nyanga lesi. Enkosi dade. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Next week ngoLoka.
Oh, next week ngoLesithathu. Thank you so much. Okay. The latter speaker is Mr. Dibele. Mr. Dibele can see. Is English fine or do you want me to speak the third language? English fine? Okay then, thank you. And then he's a blind person, he can't see. And himself also with his wife, they both blind people. And he was actually, he opened up a school for the blind people. But he didn't get enough support to sustain or to substantiate and to go forward. And he speaks about the problem. He quoted even within the clause of subsections that speaks to the assistance and to the help of people that are living with disabilities. And he said that is just a theory, it's not in practice, practically, so to speak. He made mention an example that in the year 2018, when he and his wife had to leave, they went to Venda, himself and his wife. Imagine yourself leaving your province and going to another place so far without any assistance. He didn't get any assistance. And he also made mention that at the time when he was at the school, he then had to complete in 2022, the 6th of July, then he had to complete. Now, he's asking for assistance from the government, so that the government must look, because why? People with special needs, it seems to him that the government doesn't really take cognizance of them. So he's saying that they want to register and open up a school once more, but he needs the assistance from the government. And he also wants the curriculum, because his intention is to become educated so that even if he can't see, that, so that he don't depend actually on the government grant only, but do things and to sustain his livelihood, to do things for himself. That is what he wants to do. So he said NG is also aware that the people who can't see with special needs, they know him by name, he has met with them, and his status didn't change. So his plea unto us is that please, he also made mention with other Ms. Swartz, from George. He approached her, but they just ignore and close the door. He didn't get any assistance. And he is now planning to say that on the 6th or the 7th, they are going to the institution. They're going to have a sit-in in the institution. They need to be answered. They need to be assisted. They're not moving. They're going to remain there up until they get the assistance. You also mentioned the fact that he had published a book in November. He had published a book, but because of not getting the assistance, utalu, like it means to say apartheid. Yeah, he said it seems to him he's still being discriminated. It seems that there is an apartheid merely because they can't see. So his plea unto the government is that government deny it, help us take this matter forward. This is our plea. Ngosi Babu Tibela.
Thank you very much, Mr. Davila. I think let's have a discussion after this meeting. We can conclude the matter now, and we'll discuss how we can assist going forward afterwards. The mayor is also here, so we'll pick on him as well for his support. I do know there was a final question of clarity in the front.
Yes. Yes, good night, honorables. On behalf of the local artists and the emerged artists in the historical disadvantaged areas of the rural area, I come tonight, me and my crew and our organizations, we come tonight with hope to the government. We come tonight with hope that there will be amendments because we remain in poverty as local artists. The commercial world of the artists remain red tape for us to take in. The paperwork are very complicated. As the panel in our presence, we see to unpack the document, you must have lawyers here and all the people. So for the rural area people, it is very hard to compile those documents and to our legitimate and compliance within the creative industry. So to me, to the social economic development part, you see, if the copyright owner and the third parties remain to get 50% of the local performer, then it remains us to be in poverty. While we come tonight here to ask and plead the honorables that you must wear our shoes, bear our shoes, and fit yourself in and look it through the spectacles of a local artist to see that you have the powers, the authority, and the obligation. The minister have the power and authority of and the obligation to develop us. Now we come to tonight to strengthen ties. So for us, we must have point of clarity when we go back to our communities to say, no, we have a Western Cape government, because as you see the status quo, the public participation is not at large because of the previous constraints within the government and the engagement between public. So we are tonight here because I'm in different networks. I'm also an activist within the arts, the national hashtag, I'm from the arts. So from that perspective of point of view, I'm just must also report there as a coordinator of the Western Cape province. What are the way forward? The Western Cape Provincial Parliament, what is the way forward for the local emerged artists and for the indigenous people? I'm also part of the Rastafarian movement. Here are the Khoisan also. As we know on the news, it was been said that the Red Boss tea, they get now compensation for that. Now it's the same with the arts. They must get compensation. The same with us. So that is all from my side. I thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm now going to hand over to Mr. Makabu. After that, we will take oral submissions. We'll have to keep it quite short, unfortunately, as people will still need to get home. But without much further ado, over to Mr. Makabu.
Thank you, Cheche. I've actually taken cognizance of some of the comments raised by the colleagues, issues regarding video downloading, incorporation of amendments, of comments received, and the procedures of processes when lawyer complains against, for example, issues relating to moral rights. From our side, Chair, what we normally do is when I go back to the office is to also just write a report to the DDG and then indicate some of these issues that are actually raised and find if moving forward these are some of the issues that can actually be addressed. I know that, for example, issues regarding reporting of any issue, any matter related to a moral right may not be dealt with completely by a provision in the bill or the act. The regulations themselves, once they are actually developed, would be able to actually specifically address some of these particular issues. So they may not really be clear in the true sense in the clause itself, but they really becomes clearer when the regulations are actually made. And in this case, because regulations are subordinate legislation dealt with by ministers, they've got a way of coming out clearer more than what is contained in the clause themselves. So I think some of these issues would be dealt with, for example, at a point when we begin to deal with the regulations. But we have taken cognizance of this concerns, Chair. We would present them to the DDG, and then there would be a way forward in terms of addressing them moving forward. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. We'll now move on to oral submissions. So I did note that Ms. Conita Simons was going to make an oral submission. Are there any other individuals who'd like to make an oral submission? We've got the gentleman over there. All right. Ms. Simons. Sorry, we're just looking for the mic.
Thank you, Chairperson. The oral submission that we would like to make, we do so as SAN, which is Sovereign Aboriginal Ngarimeb, and pertaining to the area of arts and culture and sustainable livelihood, to which land is critical and the ownership of land. So we would like to make the submission to this forum so that we look into, as you correctly allude to, the fact that once things are regulated, it becomes more clearer. That pertaining to the regulation, because what we have found is that there is a gap between implementation, which happens as a result of the lack of monitoring and holding to account the officials who are supposed to be implementing these bills that become laws, with the result that people identify those gaps and they use the gaps to push the First Nation Aboriginal people back. They use those gaps to impoverish them even more, specifically pertaining to land ownership. So they come in because they have bought. They come in and they discover that you can make money while you are asleep. They erect edifices of supremacy, and those they rent out as B&Bs. They have paragliding clubs. They have abseiling. They use tourism to their advantage. So they, while they sleep, they make euros, they make dollars, they make pounds. And that to the rand means that they outprice the First Nation Aboriginal people. So, while they are asleep and they are coining it because of the deregulation of capital, they can move money across borders. And that is why we are being impoverished. So we appeal to the legislature to look at these things, to listen to what we are saying, because it's our livelihood that is being threatened. The life blood is choked out of us. You've heard that artist. We are also in the performing arts, because when they talk tourism and they talk First Nation Aboriginal people, then they look and they expect us to entertain them. Nothing more. Nothing more. And that is what your municipal tourism departments are doing. They are choking us. They are using the very laws that are supposed to protect us. They are using to kill us. And we are here. We've come from George to say, enough is enough. No more. Amase.
Amase, thank you. We really appreciate your submission. There was a second submission, there was a second hand. Gentleman, I believe it was yourself, and then there's a gentleman at the back. So the gentleman in the middle can make his submission first.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, members. I'm Andile Makhenene, member of Pongoletu Performance and Arts Organization. I would want to make a submission on the formalization of local performance and arts organization and authorities. These need to be part of this bill. I didn't see the or hear the bill talking to such. And the other part I didn't hear also is that the bill made mentioning of the tribunals and ombudsmen as but an air of this bill, and so to me, I don't see that there is any way that this monitoring and stuff that my colleague was talking about is going to be a reality. And so I would also would love that there's that board or government or something, the government should have that part of the bill and put it clear how this ombudsman or tribunal is going to work. It must be stated clearly on the bill. so that it can, so that the performers and the artists could know exactly how and how to make use of that tribunal or ombudsman, and that the formalization of calls or of these local and performance art organizations and authorities that need to be part of this bill, it also to be clarified their scope and their work, how it is going to do their work for the performers.
Thank you very much. We'll take the final submission from the gentleman in the back.
Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Thulani Mene Justice. First, let me first applaud for the beautiful program that you brought to Oudtshoorn. Beautiful. I do not know if I will be out of line or anything, but talking about royalty, something that I've noticed, many artists that are coming along want to do music, they have to go through SAMRO so they can understand the most fundamental thing of sharing of royalties and so forth. Again, what I've noticed when you register on SAMRO, talking about the sharing, because now you contradict itself again the amendment, because when you register on SAMRO, it gives the producer who's producing the song and the artist a percentage to say is 70% or 30% or some sort. But now when it's saying sharing the royalties in an equal view, like, I really don't understand how does it amend itself there, you understand? So that's a clarification, because you found along that you're doing great music and then the artist and the producer along the way they collide with, because there's no proper agreement that was happening, because of now SAMRO is saying 30% to this person and 70% to this person. So my question is now, when you come across with such, and then how does the bill protect the one and another when it comes to the fair sharing of the what you call of royalties? Thank you.
Thank you very much. I just want to say thank you very much to everybody who's made a submission today, everybody who's taken the time to come and join us today. I think if I'm left with two words that really describe how I feel and how this experience has been, is it's been powerful and it's been insightful. I've learned a lot. You've opened my eyes. So thank you very much. I'd like to... Mr. Mokaba, the final question on SANRO, if I can just refer that to you before we close off.
I'm going to specifically request that that particular issue be referred to CIPC, because to me I think it's really over and above that being where it can actually help in terms of this particular legislation, but it is also really an enforcement issue, and I think the CIPC may be in a position, once we actually consider what it's actually saying, they may also be able to actually look into that from an investigation point of view. So that would be my suggestion that I would want to give to that gentleman. But after all, that is appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you very much to everybody who's attended. I note that your transport is waiting outside if you have had prearranged transport. I just want to close off to say or to remind you that any written submissions you want to make are due on the 10th of March, and you can make those submissions using the online form, by emailing us and by WhatsApping us as well. You can even send us a voice note if that's easier. And we look forward to receiving more feedback from you. We've got a few more of these in Cape Town, in Darling, Stellenbosch, just a few more. So yes, thank you very much everybody, and I hope you have a fantastic evening forward. Thank you.